Good morning. It's good to be with you in the name of our Lord Jesus, in his presence, and giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I think that really is the first thing I want to say this morning is happy Thanksgiving. I think some of you have started already. You had a dinner last week, is that right? And so you're getting going, and I wish you well. I really do, with your family celebrations this week and all that's coming up. We're going to talk today about giving thanks to God through Jesus, and I want to say to you, I have found this study and this practice to be something difficult for me. I don't find it to be natural. I don't find it to be simple or easy. I find it to be contrary to my human nature to give thanks in all things, and whatever I do in word or deed, to do it all in the name of Christ. I find that to be a real challenge. I find that on the big scale and just the big picture of life, and I find that hard or difficult for me on the small scale too. About 3 weeks ago, our TV died, and it happens. We've had this TV for at least 15 years, you know, it was this, you know, this big. And so the TV died, and so we were like, well, the TV died. Well, we don't watch that much, but we'll probably replace it at some point. So we were thinking about the TV, and eventually we ended up going to Costco, and we found this TV for $140-something bucks, and we thought, you know, new TV, you know, the flat screen, all the new, and we thought, this is a great price, because we'd priced them, we thought, this is a good deal, and so we bought this TV, and hey, it's a good thing, and so we brought it home. So then you had to get rid of the old ones, I had to clean it, because it was dusty, and then I had to recycle that one, and then to prepare the area, then you had to put the TV together, and then you had to go through the instruction manual and put it all, and then, you know, get all the wires connected and then test it, and then it wouldn't work, so you had to call tech support, and then you had to call your other tech support, you know, and in the midst I'm thinking, I got things to do. This is not my top priority. I'm not enjoying this process. And so I was getting, I didn't get, you know, I didn't go off, but I was getting a little, I was getting a little aggro, and Mary's like, so what's the problem? I said, I got other things to do. She goes, what do you got to do? I said, I got to prepare this message. Well, what's it on? And it's like, it's on giving thanks in all that you do and doing it in the name of the Lord. You know, I ended up spending over 6 hours since. So what I'm trying to say is, we're not just talking about some theological construction here. This is our day-to-day nitty-gritty, am I giving thanks in the small thing? I should be saying, thank you, God. I have $150 to buy a TV and plug it in a dry house. That's wonderful, you know? That's what I should have been doing, but I didn't. So it's a struggle for me. It works now, yeah. If I'd said no, that would have been, oh man, you'd hear me sworn right out loud here. But no, it's working. Years ago, I have a friend that's a counselor, and years ago I asked her a question that you probably all know the answer to. I said, just in conversation, I said, is there a time of year when you're busiest? And without hesitation, she said, oh yes. I said, what time is that? She says, it's this time of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I said, oh, why is that? She says, well, because people get together with their families and they have to face old pain and old wounds and broken relationships and unmet longings and broken hearts and all of this. And some people's families are fractured and they are not seeing each other. And so this freaks a lot of people out. And so they come in at that time. And I said, that's interesting. And I would say, yeah, I think that's true, that this time of Thanksgiving, when we should be saying this is a wonderful time, it can be a very difficult, stressful, and painful time. So we're going to talk about that. And our text this morning is Colossians 3 and verse 17. And in the context, and it's there on your outline as you can see. And the context for this is we're going to talk about what the Bible says in this passage specifically about Thanksgiving. But we realize we're in a broader context. And that broader context is Thanksgiving in America. And I would encourage you this week sometime to go online or pull a book off the shelf and read just a few pages about the Puritans or the Pilgrims and what they experienced in the first and second Thanksgivings. It's a harrowing and amazing story where we get this American tradition. And I would encourage you further to go online or pull down a book off a shelf and read the Thanksgiving Proclamation of George Washington. It's a beautiful hymn. It's appropriate for church. In fact, I would encourage you to make a copy and read it at your Thanksgiving table almost as a prayer before dinner. It's beautiful. And likewise, the Thanksgiving Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln. It's gorgeous. It's worshipful. It's hymnotic. It's adoration of God and thanksgiving to God for his goodness to our nation as a people. But we don't live in the time of Washington or Lincoln, do we? We live in a very different time where we're not encouraged in general in our culture to give thanks or to give thanks to God. We're encouraged sometimes to give thanks, but not to God, right? But we're going to talk about what the Bible says specifically in this passage about giving thanks to God through Jesus. Now, it's not just the Bible that has a word for us about Thanksgiving or this holiday. Secular culture or academia has a word for us as well. And there's a new study in the social sciences on gratitude. And there are lots of people who study full-time, and all they do is study the impact or the effect of gratitude on people. And I find it to be a fascinating study. If you look on your outline there, the benefits of Thanksgiving, these are some of the things that they've come up with in their research. An attitude of gratitude or living a life of thanksgiving leads to better physical health. Anybody want some of that? I do. It leads to sounder sleep, less anxiety and depression, higher long-term satisfaction with life. You know, give me some of that. More energy, reaching goals. Where do I sign up? People who have a life, an attitude of gratitude, who give thanks in general, are kinder people to themselves and to others, and they have more friends. I want more friends. I want all this stuff. They have a better love life, and they're less aggressive physically. These are all wonderful things that we all aspire to. And some of these social scientists acknowledge religion, they would say, has taught this for years, but now we're just understanding why, as we study the brain and the chemistry of the brain, why this changes us. But the reality is that it does. When we live with an attitude of thanksgiving, it changes our life in a very positive way. Let's look at the text, and I would encourage you, before we look at the pages of the Bible, just look in your outline in that top left corner, and I'm going to read the text for you. Read along with me. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, some of you caught on. You were ahead of me because I read it for you, and some of you were reading it with me. I'd like the men to join me in reading this verse. Let's read it together. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. But I'd really like to hear the ladies read it as well. Would you join me, ladies, in reading this? Just the ladies. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And you're going to forget what I say, but I want you to remember this verse. So let's say this verse together with a rousing, Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thank you very much. Now, I want to preface before we look into the passage, into the chapter, we're not talking about giving thanks in general. Because you will hear people this week, I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my roof over my head. And that's good, and that's great, and that's helpful, and that's beneficial. But Christian thanksgiving is not that. It's something very different. It's not just saying thank you. It's giving thanks to God through Jesus. It's very precise. Because a lot of people, they're grateful, but they're grateful to no one. They're grateful just kind of to the air. I have a dear friend. I really like her, and I don't know how she would define herself spiritually, but when I'm with her, and whenever anything good happens, she thanks the universe. And she'll say, the universe was so good to me today. The universe provided this for me this week. And on one hand, I'm grateful that she's thankful. She really is thankful, and she is grateful. But I can't have a relationship with the universe. You know, I'm not trying to be cruel. I can't. I don't know how to do that. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about something very specific. We're talking about giving thanks to God, the Creator, God the Father, through his Son, the Lord Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit, it's a Trinitarian thanksgiving. When the Holy Spirit is inside of me, I'm able to give thanks to my Father through the agency of his Son. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what this verse is teaching. So look with me on your outline at this big square on the right. A context for thanksgiving. And I want to say again, thanksgiving, at least for me, maybe for you, maybe you're different, is not normal, and it's not a natural human condition. What is natural? What is normal? What is routine for me, for you, some of you? Not all of you, some of you. Complaining is normal, natural. Self-pity is the human condition, generally. And discontentment, those are normal things. Those are the opposite of thanksgiving. And that's kind of what our normal human condition is. So if that's what our normal condition is, and the scripture is saying, give thanks to God, whatever you do, you know, whatever it is, give thanks to God through Jesus. It's like, well, how do I do that when my normal natural condition is to be discontent and to complain and to pity myself? And to worry about all this stuff instead of giving thanks. Is anybody with me? So here are some of the steps. And it's I don't want to say it's a steps like, oh, just do these, you know, check, check, check. It's not like that. It's a context, I think, in which God calls us to give thanks. And if any one of these steps, and there are more than in the passage that I haven't outlined, but if any of these steps are missing, something will be askew. But let's start in chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The first condition for this ability to give thanksgiving and praise to God in the way that he describes here is that you have to have been raised up from your dead nature and raised into life with Messiah. And the question is have you really been born again? Are you really in the Son? And that's the first condition. Because if you're not, I don't know that you can give thanks to God through Jesus in a way that will please him. So the first question is am I genuinely born again? Have I been raised up with Messiah? And then he says in verse 2, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. And I think this is a great area for Thanksgiving. It's like, if I'm going to give thanks, my mind has to be focused on eternity. It has to be focused on the kingdom of God. It has to be focused on heaven. Otherwise, I'm going to see what? I'm going to see the mud around me. I'm not going to be seeing the stars of glory. I think this time of year, I figured this out a few years ago, there would be this aching discontentment in me around the holiday season. I thought, why? You know, they're playing the music on the radio, and the tinsel is up, and everybody's talking about, you know, parties and everything. It's like, we should really be happy, right? And why do I have this discontentment? And I think part of it is the advertising industry. Because the advertising industry is saying, you'll have a happy Thanksgiving on the day that you can put a brand new car in the driveway of your McMansion and put a big red bow on it and present it to your wife, you know, with a cup of coffee for breakfast. And that's what happiness is. And that's a reason to give thanks, right? Thanksgiving is when you have the big new watch and all this other stuff. And it's like, so if I'm focused on that stuff and what I don't have, I will not be giving thanks.
My wife would make me take that car back,
actually. Would she? She's more she's more thrifty than you, maybe. Okay. So if I'm focused on eternity, that is where the thanksgiving comes from, not from being focused on all the things of this world, as important as some of them are. And then number three, look at verse 5. And this is really, and this is, I think, the bones of the passage is, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. I was just talking about greed. And greed, which is idolatry. Do I consider myself dead, my body to be dead, and to my life to be hidden with Christ in God? Because this is the prerequisite. This is the condition for having an attitude of gratitude that's pleasing to God. And I don't think I could count on one hand, maybe less than one hand, the sermons I have heard on this verse in my life. And I listen to a lot of sermons and read the books and all that kind of stuff. I don't hear a lot of people talking about this. The old-fashioned word for this activity in verse 5, putting to death what belongs to your earthly nature, what I was talking about, discontent and or greed or dissatisfaction or lack of thanksgiving. The old-fashioned word for putting this to death is called mortification. We don't talk, it's where we get the word mortuary. We have mortuary over here. And it means it's to kill. And so he's saying, if you want to have a life of thanksgiving, the easiest way to say it in the polite way is it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to kill something first. And that something you have to kill is you. And we don't want to do that. And I don't know if there are any hunters here or warriors, if you've ever tried to kill someone or something, not with a gun, it's pretty easy with the gun, with your hands or with primitive weapons, it's really hard to kill something. You don't just hit it once and it's down, like in the movies, you know, that they, you know, one punch and the guy goes out and, you know, he's, no. It's a brutal, horrific, painful, grotesque exercise. It really, really is. And so we want a sanitized, purified Christian experience where there's no death and there's no killing. But he's saying you have to kill this nature in you that wants to be discontent, that wants to be greedy, that wants to not give thanks. This part of you that's innately discontent and wants more and different and other and is unsatisfied. And he specifically mentions sex and money. What is our culture obsessed with? And what am I obsessed with? Sex and money. That's our natural, normal human condition. And he's saying, if you want to give thanks, you have to destroy, you have to kill, you have to beat to death that innate human nature. And you will not come to the fruit or the blessing of the thanksgiving and all the blessings of thanksgiving that the social scientists talk about unless you're able to kill that part of you that wants to do the other thing. So enough on that. It's a life and death struggle. Look at verse 4. And before I look at 4, I've put this triangle on my outline for me. I think of these steps or these points as a funnel. If you start up here, then to get down here to giving thanks to God through Christ, you kind of have to go through these steps and go this way. Some of you will say, well, that doesn't make sense. You might want to turn it around and say, to have thanksgiving here at the top, you might want to turn all these on their head and say, I have to start with I'm born again, I've been raised with him, I'm focused on... You might want to put it another way. Others of you have a different orientation. And you might want to turn it this way or this way. But however you look at it, I'm seeing these things as prerequisites, conditions, context for getting us to this place where we're saying, everything I do in the name of Jesus. It's not just, you don't start there. You go through all this process, this kind of a meat grinder almost, to get there. And the next part is in 4, where it says in verse 10, look at verse 10 with me, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. So not only do you have to take off and then destroy and kill, mortify your old nature, then you have to put on this new self, this new nature. And so I ask myself, is my new nature being continually renewed in the image of my creator? And this isn't a one-time thing that you do at an emotional church service, you know, where you get down and you lay it all on the altar and then you're done. It's a continual, daily, sometimes hourly process where I'm saying, I'm going to put this old nature off and I'm going to put this new self on that's being continually renewed, continually growing into the image of my creator, or into the likeness of my Savior. It's not enough just to pull the weeds, because if you have a field out there and you go out and pull all the weeds, what will happen? More weeds will grow. You have to plant seeds then. And then when you plant the seeds and the good stuff is growing, you will still have weeds, but they will be reduced by a large percentage, right? Because the good stuff is growing. You have to pull the weeds and plant the seeds, and then cultivate the plants that come. That's part of this putting off the old and putting on the new. And what is the new that we're putting on? Look and read with me at verses 12 through 15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself, put on, plant the seeds of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So am I putting on the virtues of love? Are these qualities that he describes here, are these the most valued and cherished qualities and virtues of my life? Because if I put a value on them, they will become a focus and I'll go towards them. But if I don't put that value on them, if I don't say these virtues of love and all the things that he said, I will end up with the sins that he mentions in the verse before that are a part of my natural, normal human nature. So I have to put on the virtues of love. And then it says in verse 16, look down in your text at verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And so then again, you have to put this book in your brain. Your mind is not going to be renewed. Your nature, your old self, is not going to be destroyed and killed and beat down. Your new nature is not going to be put on. You're not going to grow in the virtues of love unless you are renewing your mind with this. And then he says to do it formally, informally, musically, poetically, artistically. He's saying everything about this new nature and the virtues of Christ's love are to permeate every aspect of your life. It's to come out in your art. It's to come out in your conversation. It's to come out in everything about you. Then, after I've done this, when I'm there, I'm able to prioritize and say everything I'm doing now is giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Look at number 7. And so it's after I've gone through these steps. If you say, oh, it's Thanksgiving, I want to give thanks to God. Well, that's good, right? It's better than a lot of things. There's nothing wrong with that. And is it a positive? Yes. But is it what this passage is talking about? No. What this passage is talking about is saying, if you want to give thanks to God, if you want to do all things in the name of the Lord, you have to go through all this. You have to know that you've been born again, that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. You have to be focused on eternity. You have to be killing your earthly nature on an active daily basis. You have to be vigorously putting on your new self and the virtues of Christ's love. You have to be living with in every aspect of your life, putting the word of God and applying it into every area, every nook, every cranny. Then, only then, can you give thanks to God through Him. So it's a journey. It's not one step. It encompasses your whole life. And today we're looking at this with specific focus or attention on giving thanks or gratitude, which is important. But you can apply this system. I don't like the word system, but you can apply this paradigm, whatever you want to call it, this passage, this chapter, to any area of your life. Whatever it is that you're trying to work on, you say, my natural tendency is to do this, but I really want to do that. Okay, take this outline and say, okay, am I born again? Am I focused on eternity? Am I putting to death this old thing? Am I putting on the new thing? And then does that allow me to come over here and get this new thing that I know that God wants for me and has for me? I'm going to put that to work. So if you just hear this sermon and you go away, I will be disappointed and you will not benefit. So what I want you to do is I want you to hold on to this, put it in the fly leaf or your Bible, whatever. And your homework is to say, okay, what can I need to apply this to something. It might be a relationship, because in the passage, he immediately after this, he talks about homes. He talks about husbands and wives. How can I apply this with my husband and my wife? How can I apply this with my kids, he says. How can I apply this with the people that I work with? How can I apply this to the people I work for? How can I apply this to the people that work for me? He's saying this has application to every area of your life. You might want to journal about this. You might want to write a poem about this. You might want to, if you're a musician, you might want to write a song about it. But find some way to work this into your life and discover what it is that you're going to put off and what it is you're going to put on and how you're going to do that then to make everything you do focused on giving thanks to God through Christ. Turn your outline over with me, if you will, and look on this back panel. Thanksgiving is central. It's really a central concept all through the Bible. We're not going to take the time. We could, just go from Genesis through where giving thanks and praise is central to the whole Bible. I'll just focus on one or two things here. When we take communion or the Lord's table, some people call it Eucharist. Eucharist is just a fancy Greek word, and it means, the word literally translates, thanksgiving. So when you receive the Lord's table, you're giving thanks. Why do we do that? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord took bread, gave thanks. He gave thanks and he blessed it. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. And so he gives this as a memorial, as a symbol for us when we come together to say, this is central. My body is central. My life is central. My blood is central. And I want you to give thanks for this. The paradox of this, though, for me is on the night in which he was betrayed, he gave thanks. Not on the day when everything was happening and happy and good. On the night that he was betrayed, he gave thanks. Is that natural? Is it normal? Is it human? No. Should be, it's not. And the reason why is because he was focused on all these things that we've just been describing. His focus was on his Father and on his kingdom. Why would Jesus do this? Why would Jesus give thanks before he was about to be tortured to death? It seems impossible. But God is asking us in a similar way to say, what is your context? Where are you being betrayed? What is your night of passion and darkness? And can you give thanks in that hour? It's a tremendous challenge. I'm challenged as well by the words of Job that we know so well. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I departed. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. So this isn't just, in our American culture, we give thanks when you're happy, when you're full, when everything's going well. And the scripture doesn't say that. You give thanks in the good times, and you give thanks in the bad times and the tough times. I'm going to read the text one more time. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's review some of what we've covered. Gratitude and giving thanks are integral to my physical, emotional, relational, financial, and spiritual health. This is what the social science is telling us. This is if you want to have positives in all these areas, giving thanks is essential to that. But we understand as believers, as followers of Jesus, that there's a difference between being thankful in general and, as our passage says, giving thanks to God through Jesus. It's very different. Our gratitude, our thanks, isn't just to the air, to the sky, to the nature. It's to God the Father through Jesus. And then finally, real Christian thanksgiving in all of life is possible as I live out all of Colossians 3 and not verse 17 only. And that's going back to this idea of we don't just come down here and give thanks. The ability to give thanks in all things, in the good and the bad, only comes through when I recognize and acknowledge all these other bits. But I don't think this is practical enough for us, so we're going to watch just a very short video about, I've never seen this show, but someone else told me about it. It's called Undercover Boss. The CEO of a big corporation, he grows his hair, beard out, or whatever, and puts on the old clothes and goes and works. And watch a bit of this, and we'll talk about it for just a second.
I'm Larry O'Donnell. My title is President and Chief Operating Officer at Waste Management. I'm actually going to go out into the operations undercover.
You serious?
This is going to give me the opportunity to really see what it's like to work at Waste Management.
I'll be posing as Randy Lawrence, a construction worker who's being followed by a TV crew.
The job you're going to be doing is cleaning toilets. Freddie G?
There he is,
right there.
Let's do it.
We're like hunters.
We see our prey. We creep up on it. We don't know what's in here, but we know it's trouble.
We're getting her done.
That didn't come from a human. There was an animal in here. It ain't just a job. It's an adventure. Phase two. You put that in that bucket right there. I call it the battlefield. Even if you get a little splat on you, you're wounded, but you keep going.
I'm Randy.
Good morning. I'm Sandy.
So what we've seen is the boss, the big boss, goes out on the truck with the guy that does the real work, right? And he has an experience of it. But he meets this guy. And in this clip, we cut out all of it. He meets all different kinds of people. And some of them are cheating the boss. Some are cutting the hours. Some of them hate their job. And they say it. But this guy, he's positive. He's funny. He has a good attitude. And the boss takes notice. And then we see here kind of what happens at the end.
I can't leave without doing something to solve this problem.
I have got to change the way I go about my own job.
Whoa! Oh my goodness, my helper Randy!
Oh my goodness.
You know who I am?
Yes, Randy.
I'm actually Larry O'Donnell, president of Waste Management.
You're kidding me.
You clean up good.
You have to clock back in exactly on 30 minutes. Well, I knew that wasn't our policy. And we're going to get that fixed. Fred, the positive approach and the positive attitude that you bring makes such a big difference. I'd like to invite you to come up and speak to our senior leadership team.
I'm honored. And it is a privilege. A privilege, man. The president?
You're doing several people's jobs right now. We're going to take you off hourly, put you on a salary. We're going to make you a supervisor. And then you need to go hire your replacement. You're going to become bonus eligible. That's going to result in a pretty nice pay increase for you.
Hey, I don't know what to say.
I'm going to stay in my dream home.
All my hard work has been noticed.
I'm going to be a different manager because now I have a whole new appreciation of the impact that some of my decisions can have on you folks.
That really made a change in my life right there, just to hear that coming from the top.
Tears came to my eyes. I was overwhelmed.
So, I don't know about you, but I want to be Fred. I want to be that guy in that truck. Even if my job is cleaning the toilets or whatever it is, I want to give thanks. Because the metaphor in this is God the Father is with us as we go through this journey of life, and he's watching. And some of us are complaining and are not giving thanks. But he's saying, I want you to give thanks, even though it's not natural, it's not normal. And I give you the tools, and I show you how to do that in a really challenging situation. And I'm going to reward you on that. And so join me, and let's pray together and ask God to help us do that. God, we pray that this week that we won't be just give thanks when things are shiny and new and happy and sweet, but that when things are difficult and hard and boring and lonely and on both sides, God, help us to go through these steps. Help us to know that we have this relationship with you. Help us to learn how to put to death the deeds of our flesh and to put on the virtues of love, to focus on you and everything, and then ultimately to be able to give thanks to you, Father, through your Son, Jesus, we pray, with thanksgiving to him. Amen.